Lord, to come before you, Lord, not one another, Lord, at just a time of the week, but to come before you, Lord, in humility, Lord, and worship, Lord. May you feed our hearts this evening, Lord, and just be with our worship, Lord. May you be glorified in our lives, and be with those around us, Lord, and just the ones that has need upon the hearts, Lord. May you come and meet them, we pray now in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Chester, having a good week?
Yeah.
Everyone's doing all right? Thought I'd read this. I think I had mentioned to you. I was looking for this quote, and I just had turned this message on and kind of ran across it. But a while back, I had been looking for it, but or I thought about it, didn't know how to phrase it, but the revelation of Jesus Christ, the first of the Church Age series he preached in the 60s, he was saying, and this same little woman, when I walked into the tabernacle, or the place at Shreveport, where we were in, the life tabernacle, the Holy Spirit moved on that woman. Okay, so sorry, I want to start the verse before that. And then when I got to Shreveport, a woman who was a gifted woman, her name is Mrs. Schrader. Many years ago, when the angel of the Lord met me down here at the river the first time and appeared in that light, and the words that he spoke there, 11 years later, when I walked into a meeting, this little woman rose and spoke in tongues and interpreted, and it was word for word the same thing that angel said. That was 11 years before, when he was, I believe that's when he was baptizing and the light come down. Mm-hmm. And this same little woman, when I walked into the tabernacle or place at Shreveport that we were in, the life tabernacle, the Holy Spirit moved on that woman and said word for word what he said to me up there on the hill. And earlier he was referring to basically preparing for these, preaching this series on the Church Ages. And then the Spirit began to move and give interpretation, foretelling things by the revelation, by prophecy, the things that would happen in the meeting the following night. And not one time did it fail. Before that, a little woman stood up in the meeting, a Baptist woman, come over there not knowing what she could do. And she was standing in the midst of the meeting, and the Holy Spirit fell on her, and she began to speak with tongues, a Baptist woman from the First Baptist Church of Shreveport. And then she didn't know what she had did. And then before she could say anything, the Holy Spirit gave the interpretation, said, "Thus saith the Lord, within 3 months, there will be the Spirit of Moses, Elijah, and Christ ministering in this tabernacle." There it happened perfectly. This was in the 60s, so mm-hmm. I thought that was pretty interesting. It was definitely an anointed thing, you know, mm-hmm. working through both ends, yeah. Yeah. Working through those people, amen. Yeah, God is good, that's right. Let's sing this song we had picked out, "We Are Heirs." I'm not sure what key you did it in. I didn't put it down, so. "We are heirs of the Father, and heirs of the King." Okay. "We are heirs of the Father."
Is that too fast?
Too fast? Okay.
Children of his kingdom.
Lift me up and let me see. inside, inside. Lift me up above the shadows, let me evermore abide. Lift me up above the shadows, lift me up and let me stand on the mountain tops of glory. Let me dwell in new land. Lift me up above the shadows till in heaven I stand at last. Lift me up above the shadows. Lift me up and let me stand on the mountain tops of glory. Let me dwell in Beulah land. Up above the shadows when the earth is out again, let me be in the city and the clouds never rain. In thy kingdom full of glory with our friends will ever be. Lift us up above the shadows there to dwell eternally. Lift me up above the shadows, lift me up.
Jesus, take over. So thankful, Lord, for every promise, Lord, that you not only gave, but you came and proved. Lord, everything you said you would do, and you're doing, Lord. Lord, may we recognize, Lord, as the Bible says, Jesus said the Father, the Son sees the Father doing something, and the Son does likewise. Lord, may we always see what you're doing, that we might do likewise, Lord. And by your Spirit, and by your word you've delivered to us, Lord, we believe that's taking place now. And we pray that you'll be with us in this little service tonight. Speak to our hearts, Lord. Give us another step up a little higher, Lord, that we might walk and meet the things of this day that the bride is supposed to meet, Lord. We ask it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. You can be seated. I was going to talk about this a little bit, but I believe I will just go into it and we'll see how it goes. Because Brother Branham says some things. He says things that are so perfectly placed that I don't care who you are. No man on this earth can say it perfectly like this. And going from message to message to message, and you see one thought linked together with another thought and another message, and it's just perfect. It's just unfolding in a way that is just, it's just beautiful. And to see with eyes that God gave us to see with. Mm-hmm. And the scripture talks about him that hath an ear, let him hear. And that's what it's talking about. And we've talked a little bit about, we took a series there on, what was it? The one about the if I hadn't tried to think about it, I kinda was on something to believe with, that series that we did on something to believe with, and Brother Branham points out places there where the little woman had something to believe with, whereas they didn't. In other places he talks about there was something there to strike when there wasn't nothing to strike in these others. And we'll get into that more. But that's what it's talking about, seeing with our eyes. It's when he makes it known to us. That's the way he said he was going to build his church, by the revelation of who he was. And, you know, that's the way he has done it. That's the way he is doing it. And so let's start off here in this little message. Power of transformation. And if you'll notice, the title or the subtitle there is See With Our Eyes. I have another part for Sunday, unless the Lord changes my mind. The subtitle is Apocalypse. And how many knows what apocalypse means? Not the worldly idea of what apocalypse means. Apocalypse means to unveil or to make known. It's a Greek word. And that's why they call Revelations Apocalypse. Apocalypse, Revelation, just the two are interchangeable. And the world calls the four horsemen of the apocalypse or something like that. I forgot how they say it, but we know that the four horsemen there in Revelations, we know what all that is. But I thought about that for a long time, that it's the, and we got some quotes on it. Brother Branham talked about it in the Church Ages book. He talked about the fact of what it is, the unveiling of what. And we have been mentioning as we go along in the services, we've been talking about how that the seventh seal is the ending up of all things. Brother Branham said everything ends up on the seventh seal, and he said also that the seventh seal is his coming. Isn't that interesting that it's both his coming and the end of all things? And we took a little time here to go through this little series on, or a message or two there on the fullness of time. And so all these things kind of come together and build a picture for us. And not, we don't want one with this. We want to recognize, as we'll read about a little woman in here tonight, she'd heard all these things, but then she saw it. She wasn't hearing about it anymore. And we've heard the message for a long time, but there is so many powerful things in here that aren't hitting like they should be hitting. And Brother Branham said the same thing there. But let's dig into it tonight. Let's start with here, paragraph 165. In the days of Noah, they could prove there was no water up there in the skies. So here, the message of the day is, it's going to rain, and you better get in this ark. And what were they doing? They were listening not to the message, but they went and took their intellect, and they could prove there wasn't any water up there. So they had evidence, they felt, that showed that what he was saying is going to happen can't happen. They do the same thing with the message. They'll go get parts of the message and say, well, see, he said this here, so this can't be so. It's just like they done to Jesus back there. You know, and even we know the scripture says that it'll make all the low places high and all the high places low. I'm sure they had ideas about the way that was supposed to be. And it was taking place, but they didn't realize that they were part of that scripture being fulfilled. They didn't realize they were the high places being brought down and stuff. They didn't realize it. And because they weren't looking for him to do it for them, they were, they were trying to do it themselves. It's always the downfall of man. In the garden, they wanted to do something themselves. They wanted to know something themselves. It's always the downfall of man. In the days of Noah, they could prove there was no water up there in the skies. But God said there was coming some down, and it come. So here we got a message that some people heard, and then they saw it. And other people heard it and didn't believe it, but then they still saw it. But it was too late. That's right. They say today, there's no fire up there to fall. The world's going to burn up, it says. But watch it fall one day. It will. How are we going to do this and do that? Watch God do it. He will. He said he would do it. And that seed will take a hold somewhere. Now, what is he referring to as a seed? He's referring to the thing that says the fire is going to fall. Somebody's going to believe it. The word back in Noah's day, the seed was, it's going to rain. And eight of them went in the ark. It fell there. How are we going to do this and do that? Watch God do it. And the seed will take a hold somewhere. So this seed is this anointed word that's coming forth. And you say, how do you know that, Chris? We'll just keep reading. Now, there's also a predestinated seed that's in you. That's not what he's talking about here. That seed will take a hold somewhere, because this is a seed and it's going to take hold as it comes forth. Glory to God. The only thing he's looking for today is a bedding ground. Where is there a predestinated seed? What is the bedding ground? A predestinated seed. There's an egg, as so to speak, speaking that in human terms, that's waiting for it. The only thing he's looking for today is a bedding ground, somewhere that it can bed. And how does he look for it? Because that bedding ground is only going to receive one thing, and one thing only. That's how he knows. He said, what did he say back there? He said, all that the Father have given to me will come to me. I'm paraphrasing. It'll start in somebody, and they'll prove it, pervert it. What is he talking about? Will start in somebody. The seed that he's talking about will fall in bedding ground. And he's talking about that same seed. And you say, oh, Chris, be careful. Well, I would never say something he don't say. It'll start in somebody, and they'll pervert it and spray it like he did Eve. So they'll try to accept it with the wrong thing. It started in Eve for her to bed forth and bring forth sons of God, not sons of Satan. But she was a bedding ground, and it fell in the wrong place. What did? The truth, she took it at the wrong way. She tried to understand it intellectually. I'm gonna read it to you here in just a second. Because he's saying that's what's taking place right now today. Taking place. Remember what he said? Anointed ones at the end time, they are anointed with the absolute. It's the Holy Ghost. They're anointed with it and bringing forth the wrong thing. And what did he say why that was happening? Because they were anointed on their spirit, not on the soul. And it fell in the wrong place. So will the word fall in an unbeliever. This anointed word will fall in an unbeliever or a doubter or skeptic. It'll make a church member out of them. Because what? Because of them trying to understand it with the intellect. They don't have, what did Brother Branham say back there? That they don't have anything to understand it with. There's no predestination there to bring forth the truth to them. So they try to take it with their intellect and understand it. It'll make a church member out of them, but never a son or daughter of God. By accepting this anointed word the way they're doing it, the way they're trying to do it, you tell them to let their hair grow, they'll laugh in your face. You tell them to do this or that, or the man to do it. Now he's going to get even closer in this in a few minutes. The man to do it, and they'll laugh in your face. It's not sons of God. Sons of God wouldn't do that. It's the wrong bedding ground. It's not a seed there. It's the wrong bedding ground, yet they're holding the seed. These wrong persons, these people that cannot accept it, they're holding it. Brother Ram said that spirit they have is anointed with the absolute, the real Holy Ghost. Could be anointed with it all day and all night, all their life, and still die and go to hell, he said. Yet they're holding the seed. So now you see what I'm talking about a while ago when I said what the seed was. They don't have a predestinated seed. So what are they holding? They're holding that anointed word that's coming forth. See the false anointed ones? See what they're holding? They're anointed, yes, with the Holy Ghost. Speak in tongues. Do signs and wonders. But it's Satan. It's Satan. Because it's not God bringing it to pass. And he is showing what they are. But he's not bringing himself to pass in them. Yeah. Jesus said, many will come to me in that day and say, Lord, Lord, have not I cast out devils, worked great and mighty works and wonders in your name? And after they've told him, he don't know who they are. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. What is iniquity? David said, if I conceive iniquity in my heart, God will not hear me. Iniquity is something that you know that you ought to do, and you won't do it. So see, they're holding that seed, but they won't comply with it. Not they won't yield to it. You know better, but you won't do it. It's iniquity, see? You know they should stay with the word of God. For the church's sake, or somebody else's sake, or something else, you'll stray from the word of God. He's spelling it out. They know they're supposed to stay with the word, but for somebody's sake, other than God's, they'll stray away from it. Mm-hmm. Or somebody else. You'll stray away from the word of God and do what the organization says. Well, I don't know. My church says we should do it this way, and I believe it this way. Brother Bram said some of them told him, if my denomination accepts it, I'll accept it. And he was like, you know who your ultimate is. It's not the word. You're just following somebody. See, and it's right before you, the truth. It's right before them that you shouldn't do it. That's iniquity. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. Look at the great St. Paul in 1 Corinthians 13. He said, though I speak with tongue of men and angels, now you that want, or somebody want to lay on to that, that's the evidence of the Holy Ghost. Paul said, though I speak with tongues like men and angels and have not charity, like you all have here among you, I am nothing. See, you can speak with tongues, yes, because it's the word. A preacher can take this word and go forth and preach it and say that word, and that word will grow. But that preacher could be a hypocrite himself. It's the word. See? But the true living creature of God takes all of the purpose. What was God's purpose? That he would express himself in man. But the true living creature of God takes all the purpose, the word. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out. And you add something else with that, you got a perverted plant. And isn't that what they done in the garden? Both of them done it. Eve done it by being deceived, and Adam done it on purpose. Disobedient, Brother Branham said. You add something else with that, you got a perverted plant. If I started out here with a wheat and put a cocoa with it, if I started out here with a wheat, start out with the wheat and put a cocoa with it and would interbreed them together, if it would be done so by the pollen and put in there, I got a wheat cocoa. In other words, if it would even work by putting the pollen on it, I'd end up with a wheat cocoa. And what would that mean? See, it looks like a wheat, yet it's a cocoa. And that ain't exactly, that ain't exactly what he's talking about. They look like a wheat, but they're cocoa. Look like a wheat, and yet it's a cocoa. It ain't genuine life. It can't reproduce itself again. That can't reproduce itself again. See, it'll come forth, but it can't reproduce itself. Think about the bride. She comes forth, she can reproduce herself. Because that's God. That is the pure word that's come forth. A donkey can breed to a mare, horse, and she'll bring forth a mule. But that mule can't breed back to a mule. It's a hybrid. Let every word bring forth of its kind. See, it can breed once. It can breed once. And the church can come as an organization once, but it can't rebreed itself. Now he's getting real specific here. Watch him talking about the church ages here in a second. Once it can't, but it can't rebreed itself. It brings out another organization when it tries to rebreed that. When it's not the fullness, when it's just part of the word. Lutheran can't breed to the Lutheran. It brought out a Methodist, and a Methodist brought out a Pentecostal. See, it can't rebreed back. None of those could breed to one another. There had to be something else. See, it can't rebreed back because it's dead. The life went through it. The life stays in the seed. It goes through these other. It can't start a revival. Can't reproduce itself. Can't start a revival. See how he's bringing those two together now. Where did God ever start a revival in an organization? Look over your history. He never did. It's the organization that forms behind the revival. When Luther, the man of God, come forth with the message of justification, behind him come the Lutheran church. They could never build up. because they were organized. And when God sent a man by the name of John Wesley, there came a revival behind that, behind God doing something. What'd they do? Organized it. Never could rebreed itself again. Boy, if this ain't nailing down exactly what was going on in the church ages. See, it's sterile. Hallelujah. But the word of God shall ever endure. That's right. It'll bring forth its kind. Now you think about Christ being put out of these churches. And that when we've really kind of bared down on the fact that Brother Branham said that this word will never be organized. So you see where he's placing it. See, you take those things that he said over there, where he said this word will never organize. It can't be organized. And then you come over here and you see him go down through those church ages and say that none of them could breathe themselves back. Why? Because God was moving and moving and moving. But then when he gets here, but the word of God shall ever endure. That's right. It brings forth its kind. Amen. All right. Now he's going to get a little more specific. Now he drew the line there real close about how they were taking the seed. They were holding the Holy Ghost, which was the seed, the anointed word. Another brother, sister, let me tell you, that's the only thing. Now I put this out on the site there. Don't try to reason it out. Don't try to take this message like that. Don't try to have long hair because I said so. Don't try to do these things just because in your flesh. And that's what the message is full of. All around the message. Because the message is not. The message is what Brother Branham said up here. It'll bring forth its kind. But this won't reproduce. This doing this because of in yourself or in your flesh. Don't try to do it. Just kind of cope up. Don't do it like that. He's trying to lead you to the part that can reproduce itself. Not this other part. Not everything around it. And if it's not the truth, you know that Satan is the one that's doing that. He's pulling people off to make them think that that is right. That they can do it that way. Don't try. And just think about it. This is the hour, Brother Branham said, when the prophet comes forth and the showdown is to be made known. And look how he's drawing this line so straight right here. He's telling you exactly. Because people are going to know. They know whether they're doing this or not. You know what I'm saying? Am I making sense? They know whether this is how they're doing this or not. And Brother Bram said, they got it. And yet they won't do anything about it. And Brother Bram come up a big old man come up to him one day after the service. And he said, now you're telling me that this Holy Ghost is for anybody. He said, that's right. And he said, it's freely given by God. And he said, all you got to do is accept it. And so the man got down and started praying. And said he prayed for a little bit and he looked up at Brother Branham and he said, I'm not getting anywhere, am I? And Brother Branham said, no. And he said, he went back down on his knees and he said about 2 a.m. that morning, he got it. He found it. You wait. You do it on God's time. You don't do it on our time. We don't make announcements that this is the way it is and that's the way it is. We wait on him. You think how the story of Abraham would have come out if Abraham had put his idea somewhere in there. We have Sarah she put her idea in there and God allowed it. And you see what happened. An entire nation come out of it against Israel because she put her idea in there. And God wanted to let that happen to show what would take place. God, so merciful. And people go along for thousands of years and not talk about that. And then a prophet comes on the scene and points that out. And all they got is bad stuff to say about it. My goodness. But listen to what he says. Just because in your flesh, don't try to do it, just kind of cope up. But just wait before the Lord till something way down on the inside. Many of you think this. Now, how does he know what many of them people in there think? This is the prophet. He's come, and what does it say? The word divides, even to the dividing of the soul asunder. Many of you think, because you've got long hair, that means you're going to heaven. That doesn't mean that. Many of them think, because you're good moral woman, you're going to. It don't mean that. Many of them thinks because their churches and belongs to this and this great groups and great doctrines of divinity, that don't mean that. See where they're putting it on. See what they're basing it on. Not what this man found down there at 2 a.m. one morning. Not what he's telling these people to find, you know, way down on the inside. Many think because they speak with tongues, they've got the Holy Ghost. That don't mean that. Though the Holy Ghost does speak with tongues, but until that real, genuine Holy Spirit in there will cope with every word. What does it? The Holy Spirit copes with every word. There's only one that can bring forth His word, and that's God. He brings forth His own word. If that Holy Spirit in you that makes you speak with tongues looks back there and doesn't agree with the rest of the world, rest of the word, then it's the wrong spirit. You got it in the wrong place. It's got to come from the inside. These things that are taking place, these actions that you have, the way you live, it has to come from the inside, which is the word from the beginning. In the beginning, this that's coming forth from you is the word from the beginning. It's what was put in there in the beginning, before the foundation of the world. In the beginning of the creation of God, when God began to create, bring you into existence, when God began to bring you into existence, you see, you started back there as a seed. Where was the seed? In the mind of God. And worked down to where you are now. And then you were all in Christ. And then when Christ died, He died to redeem all of you. And you are part of this word. He died to redeem His word. The part of the word that you were. You are a part of this word. And the Bible. And how can, the Bible, all of it, precept upon precept. How much of the word are you? All of it, he says. Line upon line, here a little, there a little, not one jot or one tittle shall fail. How in the world can you, being part of the word, disagree with the rest of it or any part of it? How? It's not possible. Because what's happening? That's God taking place in there. It can't do it. Talk about assurance. Talk about something you can have confidence in. My. But all this is taking place in this last day as the coming is taking place, and as the end of all things is taking place. Christ is put out of the church. That's when He comes. Not one jot or one tittle shall fail. Okay, we got that. So let's go down to, I've heard, but now I see. So why I'm mentioning that is because the apocalypse, Brother Bram says, is the unveiling. It's the making known, the revealing. And it comes at the end. After it's all been Brother Bram said that that thought of the artist, as he works on his work, he keeps it covered. And then when he's done, he unveils it. When he's done, he unveils it. So it's being done while it's veiled. All right, so that's what we're looking at. See this? And whenever Jesus come up to that little woman at the well, what was taking place? Nobody knew that was in that little woman. Nobody knew that was in that little woman but God, that predestinated seed. But when the word come on the scene, it revealed what was in that little woman. And not only did it reveal what was in that little woman, it revealed what was not in those priests. It's the unveiling, the coming of God. We try to make it, people try to make it some flash bang boom thing, and make it like the world, you know. But it's no less great. It's far greater than anything the world could come up with. But it's not like the world and what the world calls great. Brother Brown brought that message, God in simplicity. I'll tell you, we need to really look at that message. St. Mark 14, we see a woman believed on him. She had had need and seen he had need for his feet to be washed. She had only to be inspired to go into action. Now listen, now he's going to break this down for us. Listen close before we close. She only had to be inspired to go into action because she was already a believer. And God had a need, and so he inspired that believer to do that he had a need for. Because she had already heard about him. She already had heard about him. She heard that he forgave a woman of her sins, a harlot. And here she was, the same thing. And she heard that that was possible. Now you think what's going on in this little woman's heart. And why would she believe it with all the other ones running around saying that this was so and that was so and everything was so. But this one she believed. Somehow she believed it was true. It didn't matter that none of the big shots were treating him well. She didn't, that wasn't her barometer or her measuring stick, as they say. That wasn't what she was looking at. Because she had already heard about him. She heard he forgave a woman of her sins, a harlot. Now, why did that do something? Because down in there was that predestinated seed. And these things that he's doing is the word made manifest. Which one of you is without sin? That's what he had said. Cast the first stone. Could you imagine after these things happen, certain ones going and telling the other one and telling the other one and telling the other one? And they heard these things from this one and this one and this one. And they hear those words. This is taking place in a man's life when he meets this woman. These things are taking place. And when they see those things, it does something to that predestinated seed. It unveils it. It unveils something that was hid there all that time. It unveils it and brings it to life. She had heard about him. But now she's seen him. She was inspired to serve him. She'd heard about him, but now she saw him. And that was way much better than the story was. It was far better than the story. It inspired her to do something for him, to serve him. That's the only thing you have to be, is inspired by what you see. He'll supply everything else. Let the Holy Spirit tell you that you're a sinner. Let the Holy Spirit tell you you're wrong. Now, you couldn't tell those Sadducees and Pharisees they were wrong. There was nothing there to strike and for that word to be accepted, for them to realize that the way they had lived was wrong. But this little woman, when she heard that, it was gold to her. She had something down in there that the way she was living, she was not happy. It was killing her. And when this happened and she saw that, it done something because God had ordained her to that. And it unveiled something before the people now. Not just unveiled to her, not just making her talk, or it made her go into action. And it, Brother Branham said, it made something that God said, talk about this for on and on. Because it was God doing it. And then you talk, then you think about that series we tried to bring on God writing his Bible. And that's what it's been. Let the Holy Spirit tell you you're a sinner. What's the only thing going to listen to? The Word. The only thing that's going to listen to the Word is that predestinated seed down in there. Let the Holy Spirit tell you you're wrong. Let the Holy Spirit prove to you by the Scriptures that you're scripturally wrong. Now you think what was going on in that little lady's life. You think what, when you heard this message, what started to be unveiled? Because you walked along just like everybody else. You looked and acted just like everybody else until something else happened. Because it'll only steer through one straight channel of every scripture of God. It won't bypass for nothing. If you do, it'll never do you any good. It's not even God anymore when you go around one piece of it. Because the Holy Spirit can inspire it to you, but if the soul isn't right with God, as we've been through this week, if that predestinated seed's now down in there to come forth, as we've been through this week, it's no good anyhow. You'll just be those ones holding the seed and trying to work it out with their intellect. Remember, false anointed ones will rise in the last days. Not false Jesuses, false Christ, anointed ones, and will deceive the very elected if it were possible. And why can't they deceive the very elected? Because it's God making himself known. Notice, she had a service to do for him. That was what was going to be revealed. She didn't know what that service was. But there was a service predestinated down in her, and it was going to come forth now. And the Word inspired it to come forth, inspired the predestination to come forth. That's what I want you to see. I mean, that's the whole message. That Word coming forth, being made known, inspired that little girl to come do what she done. Yes. Notice, she had a service to do for him. She had heard of him. Now she's seen him with her eyes. She had a service to do, and she had nothing to do it with. So she rushed forward anyhow. You talk about going by faith and not by intellect. She knows what kind of woman she is. But this anointed, predestinated seed has took over and is driving this. So she rushed forward anyhow to do the service. God furnished the water and towels to wash his feet. She had heard of the living God all her life, but now she's seen him with her eyes. She knew it was him. She didn't even know that she wanted to know that this was him, but now all of a sudden she knew it was. You talk about the power of the Word. She knew it was him. And inspiration struck her. The inspiration that this is him caused something to be revealed for that hour. Now you know where I'm headed. Because you know Brother Branham always brings it back to now. This is the messenger. He needed a service. She had nothing to serve him by. His feet was dirty, but she run forward anyhow to do him a service because she was inspired to do it. Oh, the backslidden church member, denominational man or woman, can't you see the need Jesus has tonight? See, he placed all those there just as they were this prostitute woman. If inspiration can only strike you, now, what's it going to strike them about? If inspiration can only strike you, this is the hour to do it. But she seen him with her eyes. The others there were even mocking him. Now, they know what he's talking about. I don't know if this was one of the businessmen's meetings. Let's see. What was it? I forgot which title this was. This is in Shreveport. So there may have been some of those businessmen type sitting there. Let me make sure I got where I was going here. All right. The others there were even mocking him. They didn't believe his message. Frankly, the host, the pastor host, old Simon, had got him down there to make fun out of him. They didn't believe he was a prophet. So then, when it seemed like the devil had worked it out just right for him to say this, Simon, he said in himself, if this man was a prophet, he would know what kind of woman that was at his feet, if he was a prophet. And you know, the thing about it is, he did know what kind of woman that was. That was a woman with the predestinated seed in her. He knew far more than Simon ever thought he should know as a prophet. See, it wasn't even revealed to him who he was. That's the basis. There couldn't be any inspiration strike him, cause there's nothing there to strike to. But it was struck to her. The same thing taking place. The same actions. The same man walking down into this building where people were making fun of him. The same thing that was taking place. That word that was coming forth there before the people. That was striking this little woman because there was something to strike. And there was nothing there to strike those others. Her eyes had seen beyond his criticism. Simon couldn't see past it. Not Simon Peter. Her eyes had seen beyond his criticism. She believed he was, the word of the prophets. And we went through that, how that he was all those words of the prophets made manifest there. And how in the world did she know that? She didn't even know all the words of the prophets. But she knew that he was the word of the prophets. She knowed that was all the words of the prophets. That man right there. And you see where he's going. And he's not going to leave it alone. He's giving us such a beautiful picture. And he's taking it somewhere. And he's going to say it in such a way that people they'll miss it. If the bride, Brother Bram said she had to be looking for it. She has to be expecting it. Was vindicated in him. She had heard he was on earth. But now she sees him. Watch what she done. Now that she saw him, watch what she done. She seen the word made flesh. The Messiah, the Emmanuel. When she gave vent to her pulsation of faith, of revelation of who he was in the time he was living. See, it's what she was seeing, who he was in the time that she was living. That was what was being pulsated to her, and she gave vent to it. And everybody knows what that means, right? Everybody's been around wooden stoves and you give it the vent and it roars, the fire roars. That's what she done. She threw the vents open as much as she knew how to do. She threw aside every opinion of this world. She threw aside every idea about tomorrow, about everything there was, and went forth. She gave vent to her pulsation of faith, of the revelation of who he was in the time she was living, that he was God's lamb for such sinners as she was. She went forth to serve his needs without knowing how she would do it. That's the way a genuine healing comes. When it's revealed to you that he was wounded for your transgressions, bruised for your iniquity, and with his stripes you were healed. When it's inspired to you to see his presence here. Now he's going to show what he's talking about. Look where he goes. Of St. Mark 11 or St. Luke 17:30, that he's going to reveal himself in the last days among his people in human flesh like he did before Sodom. Elohim. When you see that and something strikes you, the doctor might say, the cancer's still there. The patient might say, I don't know how I'm going to walk, but I'm going to walk anyhow. We don't know how it's going to do. She went forward to serve him. We don't know what tomorrow will bring, but it doesn't matter. We got him in our eyes. Just like Brother Bram talked about Rebecca when she got off the horse and she said, is that him? And who identified him to her? He identified her. Not Elohim, what was his name? Eliezer. Eliezer identified her. And when he identified her, she went right straight to him. She went forward to serve him because inspiration struck her that was the hour. That was the messenger. That was the Messiah who was to heal, and she believed it. And he needed service done to him, and she went forward without anything showing that she could do it. She just went upon her inspiration. And that's how we go forward living the word. Not any other way. Remember, Brother Branham told that man about the cigarettes. He wanted to quit the cigarettes before he come. He didn't want to let God take them. He didn't want to believe in God and let God do those things. He wanted to do it. He thought that's what he was supposed to do. That's just what Brother Branham was saying earlier. Don't do these things just to cope up in your flesh. Let the Lord do them. She just went open upon her inspiration. Watch. God broke up the fountains of the tear glands in her eyes. The same eyes that heard, ears that had heard him, the eyes that had seen him, broke up with joy. She's going forward to do the service and the joy flows. Then that other God-given long hair with them tears flowing down, God furnished her towels with her hair and with her tears. She served his needs, the need of the living God. She had heard about it. Now she's seen him. She could do him a service. Now you think what it took to overcome her humanness. Because here she is, she knows she's the prostitute, and she knows everybody else knows that she's that. And she knows that these men are to be holy, supposed to be holy men. And then she sees who he is and she runs right down there into the middle of them anyway. Do you think what that was? She didn't do it on her own. Why don't you do likewise as you see the needs now? when he inspires you to go forth because there's a need, that he needs you, your service. Now you see the one who once you heard about him in the Bible. Now you're seeing him. You once heard about him in the Bible. Remember Brother Holmes used to talk about that he was, that he believed that one day God would send a man into, that would walk right out of the Bible, out of the pages of the Bible. What need, what he needs, you, your service. Now you see the one who once you heard about in the Bible. You see him last night come in here. And what he done, you see him meeting after meeting. And sometimes we sit just as cold and indifferent and say, yes, I know the scripture says it. Oh, I've seen it done. See, we have no enthusiasm. Do we really see what it is what he's saying. It don't seem to strike us right. That don't seem to be something like if you was pouring. Take a match and strike it. If the match isn't got the sulfur right on the head of the match, it cannot strike. And you can rake and rake and rake. But if some chemical has killed the sulfur on there, it will not strike. There'll be no light. But if that chemical, the sulfur, to strike against the metal, it's still on there. When it strikes, it'll light. And when the true, now he's getting ready to tell you what's been happening here. What's the striking? What is striking? What's doing the striking, I should say? Jesus, there amongst all those being treated like he was, when he had forgiven that woman of her sins and how he had lived and the things she'd heard about him, that was striking her soul. It was the truth. And now what is he talking about here? And when the true, genuine vindication of the scriptures of this last day message, and you see the presence of Jesus Christ, that you heard what he done in his life, and hear the scriptures say he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, and just before Sodom condition is fired over with the wrath of God, see Jesus return amongst his people formed in human flesh. He's telling them what should be striking them now. What should be happening? And do you know the message? Do you know the dream that Junior Jackson had about this one? About the Shekinah glory coming into the building? Yeah, if you get a chance, go back and it's in that Shreveport series there in 65. Go back and read that he talked about. Condition is fired over with the wrath of God. See, Jesus return amongst his people, formed in human flesh, and do the same thing he done. It struck that little woman. It should be striking these people, is what he's saying. My, it ought to strike our souls to glory. It ought to do something to us. Why? It's dropping on that. That is dropping on it. You heard in the Bible what he did, how the woman touched his garment. He turned around and told her what her trouble was, and her faith made her whole. Now he promised that he would do that same thing again, just before the world would be burnt. Here he is, the word being vindicated. The word vindicated is what struck that little sister, and it should be striking people today. And it's not. It's striking them in the spirit. And they're going and getting their ideas about things. But there's a few. A predestinated that's seeing it. Now he promised that he would do the same thing again just before the world would be burnt. And the world would be in a Sodom condition. The New Testament, the prophet, the God prophet, the prophet of prophets, the God of all the prophets, the fullness of the Godhead bodily, God manifested in flesh, the creator of Genesis. He's got it covered. Hallelujah. It's his word. He said it would happen. And it's happening. It was happening. We were watching it happen. And we see Sodom condition. We see the world in that condition. Now we see him come down and do exactly what he said he would do. I don't know how much more people need it spelled out for them. That ain't the return of Pentecost, I can tell you that. Now we've heard of him. Now we see him. I've heard of you with my ears. Now I see you with my eyes. I see him with my own eyes. What an hour it should be, us seeing him with our own eyes. What a time it should be, the confirmation of his word. The confirmation of his word. What did he say that little sister saw? He saw that she was all the words of the prophets. Walking down there in front of him. We just read it. And what is he saying now? The confirmation of his word. Always, when the word is confirmed, that's God speaking in his word. And what does it say when a prophet comes on the scene? God is fixing to speak. Making himself visible that you can see. Now that's a little old prostitute off the street, and she falls at the altar before Jesus. And she washed his feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. And God honored and said, wherever this gospel is being preached, let this be told for a memorial to her. Why? Look how filthy she was. But something struck. She's seen the word of the promise from the Garden of Eden. She's seen that word of promise from the Garden of Eden. This woman's seed shall bruise the serpent's head. That's what she saw. She's seen the Messiah that had been born of a virgin. All them stories about him not being a virgin didn't mean a thing to her. She looked past all those things. She heard he was to be born of a virgin, but they heard that man was on earth. She heard that there was a young rabbi, a prophet, who healed the sick. She believed that. And here she come down the street, walking around, looking around. And she looked over there and she seen that great party going. And she slipped up to the fence, looking through, and there he was. There he was. I cannot think about this message and what was taking place in the prophet and not think about when I read these words like this. Something said, that's him, see? That's all she needed to be inspired, was to see what was spoken of happening. See what happened. She seen the word of God made flesh. She had heard with her ear, and now she saw him with her eyes. Revelation had come. The end of her ignorance had come. The end of that way of life had come. It was the end of all that that was before her, because it was the revealing of Christ. Amen. This word is so good. I appreciate. I have no idea what it cost. I know it had to cost a lot. And sometimes reading some of the things Brother Branham said, I can get an idea, I guess, of what it cost him. But when we look in the Bible, we see almost all of them were put to death. Standing for this word. And we look at Wesley. Have you ever read the story of Wesley? His story's out there. Read how he went back and forth and back and forth all over the place. All the time going. And his brother, too, was with him. All the different ones. They saw him in their day. And we, in this day, see what's taking place. Mm-hmm. Let's stand. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord Jesus,
Your words to us are a treasure, Lord. The greatest treasure that we have, Lord, living in us, the living word in us, Lord. To be able to see, Lord, how Brother Branham painted the picture of what was taking place back there, Lord. How that you were revealing yourself to that little lady. And to, at the same time, revealing who the priests were not. They were not your representatives. Lord, it is so beautiful, your word, Lord. We pray, Father, that it will go with us and live in us, Lord. That we will be completely out of the way of it. Lord, that you might bring forth that you had in your mind, Lord. And that it will not be a reflection anymore, but it will be the sun, Lord, burning bright and alive. We pray that you'll go with us now and keep us. Did we come back together again? We ask it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.